Now, we're going to begin today with the tariffs that have been rolled out and threatened by the US President Donald Trump and the worst case scenario that may ensue as a result, particularly if his administration goes ahead with a 25% tariff on pharmaceuticals entering the United States from Europe. Now, there have been varying views put forward in the last couple of days on how to deal with the tariffs already announced and due to be announced by the White House this coming Wednesday. The day Donald Trump has dubbed Liberation Day, but it'd be fair to sum it up as Consternation Day on this side of the water. Now, for her take on it, I'm joined by Mairead McGuinness, who's the former European Commissioner for Financial Services and Financial Stability. Mairead McGuinness, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
In terms of the approach with the Trump administration, most economists have said that the tariffs don't make sense. Donald Trump is going to plough ahead with them anyway. So if there were to be negotiations between the EU and the US, where do they start?
Well, I think your opening question about is it fire with fire or appeasement? And I think it's neither. I think this is a time for very calm and a lot of reflection rather than reaction. We have to stay focused, and I know the Commission are very focused on the objective, and it's very simple but clear. We need to avoid the worst case scenarios that you've outlined for Europe and indeed for Ireland for all of the reasons that we will discuss. And how do we achieve that? So in my view, there are three elements here. But first, we have to look at the reality. We are seeing the upending of normal diplomacy, and normal business will not resume. Normally, when you have a problem, you sit down, you negotiate, you find a solution. In the case of the EU-US trade relationship, the US have a view that it's all unfair and they're putting tariffs on the EU. And we will at some point have to negotiate. Right. So the other two areas are we prepare. We obviously look at our retaliation, our reaction. It should be proportionate. And it should be measured. We need to look at what concessions, what is the US really looking for? And that's something that I think we have to be very focused on. The words that are being said may not mean what the US wants. Being said.
Sorry to cut across you. What if what they want is tariffs? Want tariffs as a revenue-raising measure to finance tax cuts and simply as an achievement in themselves because they were promised before the election?
Yeah, well, the danger with that is, and I think this has not been mentioned at all, although I see some coverage beginning to look at this. We're talking about medicines in Ireland, and I think we need to be very focused on this. There's a story which I think needs to be aired here. We're talking about people's lives, the lives of American families who rely on cancer treatments or diabetic medications that will come potentially from Ireland or Europe to the US market. This is a supply chain which cannot be disrupted or people will die. And I think in all of our talk about GDP and tariffs and risks to our economy, and they are real, there is a fundamental issue here about patients and people. I would hope that patient advocacy groups across the US would begin to look at this because tariffs will make drugs more expensive in the US.
But I mean, if a World Trade Organization agreement from 2004 that's supposed to ensure medicines are not affected by tariffs is going to be ridden roughshod over by a decision next Wednesday, is it likely that anything else would stop it?
Well, I think you can't be the ultimate pessimist in this. We are in a very, very difficult and alarming situation because of the fundamental threat to public health and the wider issues I've just mentioned, including the economic issues. But there has to be a solution found around this. We have to understand that our relationships with the US are different now than they were in the past. It is likely to prevail. The language is much more, I suppose, direct, to put it mildly. And therefore, we have to look at how do we deal with that as a united European Union. We're not powerless. And sometimes when I hear the commentary, there is a feeling that we are. We are a very large trading bloc. We can react to this in a very sensible way, dealing with the immediate threat. But I think more importantly, how does Europe strengthen its own resilience for the medium and long term so that we don't find ourselves in a predicament where a once ally, a trading ally, is now looking in a different direction, being very demanding, not using the normal diplomacy that we have become accustomed to. We have to deal with the world that it is now. and make sure that these things don't happen again and that we're ready to deal with them. And the Commission, in my view, is being very measured. I think President von der Leyen, her statements are short and clear. Tariffs damage everybody. The biggest threat for business today globally is uncertainty. Nobody will invest in anything in the US or indeed here in Ireland if they are not certain about what is actually happening, okay. What is behind the threats of tariffs, and how will the US continue, and indeed how is the EU collectively going to respond?
I suppose if we go back to the last economic rupture that involved Ireland looking for a unified approach from Europe, it was Brexit. So how does Ireland make sure its interests are protected in the same way that the border concern was put at the heart of Brexit?
Well, I think on Brexit, it showed that a united Europe was so effective and that Europe does look after its member states. And I think Ireland has to be in the centre of these discussions. We shouldn't just be talking about our concerns on pharma. They're very clear. It's very, very a significant part of our economy. But there are other aspects. We should equally be concerned for the German automotive industry. I'm a great believer that if you're in the room with colleagues in Europe, if you listen to each other's concerns and help each other, you will get the support. And I believe the government is doing that. I think the Taoiseach is doing that. The Taoiseach is doing that. Our trade people are doing that. But make no mistake, there is going to be disruption. We have not experienced anything like this before. And even if you had a crystal ball that had, you know, that worked, it would not work in this case. And therefore, for business, for politics, it's how we manage uncertainty. Right. And the most important ingredient is focus and calm.
And in looking at, you know, if Europe starts to look around at its options and diversify into other markets, the Mercosur deal might be back on the table. There, you know, Mercosur is good for people who are selling cars, so the German automotive industry may be putting pressure on there. It's good for pharmaceutical and chemicals also in that market as well. It's not good for beef. That's been the Irish sticking point. But when you look at the numbers, I mean, pharma is worth 126 billion in exports from Ireland. Beef is worth 2.8 billion. Do you think there'll be pressure on Ireland to look at those numbers and maybe row in more supportively on the Mercosur deal?
I think it's a much bigger issue than that. I think when you're looking at the issue of trade agreements, there's two that are on the table, CETA, the Canadian one, and Mercosur. And I think strategically, Europe needs to think collectively, what is in our best interests at a time when one of our major trade allies is not as friendly as in the past? Do we not need to strengthen our relationships globally, including with Canada and the Mercosur countries? With the Canadian agreement, it is provisionally being implemented, but I think there's around 17 member states haven't ratified, including Ireland. But if you look to that continent, Mark Carney, Donald Trump, I mean, we know which of these leaders are more positively disposed towards the European Union. We saw recently how the European Union is regarded by the leaks that came through the Signal messaging. So I think, yes, there has to be an assessment made calmly again about what is in the European medium to long-term interests around trade, taking account of the different views, not just in Ireland around beef, but the French have concerns as well, but actually saying, look, the world has changed utterly and there is no going back. What can Europe do around trade to build relationships? Because it's also becoming very fragmented. It would, in my view, be helpful if we had deeper trade relationships globally so that we're not reliant or over-reliant on any particular bloc, but also that we have friends and allies that will help us on the many big challenges that are facing us, including this one that we're discussing.
Okay. Well, before we let you go, you're on, if you've seen the Irish Independent today, you've been tipped as a potential candidate for the RSN. Now, Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary has said he'd be proud to have you as the next president. What great wrong did you do to Michael O'Leary for him to do that to you?
Well, I'd be wrong if I didn't say it caught my eye this morning. But to be honest, my biggest attention was drawn not to page one in the Indo. I would ask people to turn to page 33.
But before we turn to page 33 now.
Anyway, page 33.
Anyway, page one.
Richard Curran.
I read Richard Curran's article and we've covered some of that ground. But page one, Michael O'Leary is backing a Mairead McGuinness presidential bid. Are you minded to run for the presidency?
I've been very clear about this. I've made no decision. People know that I ran, I think, 14 years ago at this stage. And our party has not made any decision around right. when conventions might be had. So I stopped work, well, in theory, on the 1st of December last year after 44 years working, 20 in the European institutions. I'm on a sheep farm at the moment. I'm trying to take a breather. I'm not as effective at that as I should be. And I haven't made any big decisions about what I'm right. going to do for the future. But rest assured, no more than these topics we're discussing, I keep a close eye on what's happening, not just in Europe, but generally. And I don't think that appetite for an interest in affairs will change, but no decision.
No decision, right. And anyway, in any future bid, potentially, you would want the support of teachers, would you?
Well, my daughter's a teacher.
Right.
Of course I
what
would.
What does she think of Michael O'Leary?
Well, I'm sure, I think she uses his transport a lot, right. as we all okay. do. I mean, Michael O'Leary is Michael O'Leary. And I think we just put a full stop on that. Sometimes he's entertaining. I think he has a beef sale coming up. I think that might be the origin of all right. these interviews okay. with him. But no. he's a great marketeer.
Okay. All right. Mairead McGuinness, former European Finance Commissioner. Thanks very much for joining us on that. Now, still here with me in studio are Fine Gael, Minister of State for Migration, Colm Brophy, Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin, and Independent TD Catherine Connolly for Galway West. She's in our Galway studio. Catherine Connolly, another potential presidential candidate, of course.
Dígwich Colm O'Gallio.
Dígwich. Níléin Bogart. The Ross or Mairead McGuinness Gafoil Erlaid?
Well, Tommy John Shaw can play Le Orber Ella, August, but what can Diru is Jahir Nahorber Shin was Fager? I got a meal mug that's up in the Keshta.
All right, Lana Mijurai. Colm Brophy, Wednesday night, Donald Trump made his pronouncement on tariffs in the pharmaceutical sector, Ireland getting particular mention. How have Ireland's plans changed 3 days on?
Well, I think what we have been planning for this for quite a long while, I think Donald Trump's pronouncements the other night were only the latest in Donald Trump's pronouncements. He does this all the time. It's part of his process of engaging, is to have a series of comments and rollouts. He started this quite a while back. And Ireland has been working and has been preparing. And a lot of what Mairead has said there is so important in this area, because it's key that we work and prepare first of all ourselves. It's also key that we work and prepare with our European partners, and the Taoiseach has been engaging very strongly right across Europe with our European partners, and in working out what we want as a response from Europe to what Mr. Trump will obviously be announcing in a couple of days. And I think that process will strengthen, and we have to though see obviously what comes out of his actual announcement, as distinct from this ratcheting up process we're engaged in at the moment. And very much linking back to a point Mairead was making there, and you picked up on it yourself actually, and saying what if it's just tariffs for the sake of tariffs, or maybe though he has shown that he has used tariffs and moved in and out of them already in different spheres. So we have to look at what is actually going to happen and how we respond, have a measured response, have an engagement with the United States, and work obviously to mitigate what there is no question about will be a major impact
right.
to the system.
Well, we've had a bit of a dry run though, because the approach of the European Union has always been that it's not blanket tariffs. They pick an issue like agriculture in a red state, or Kentucky bourbon, or Harley Davidson's, and they concentrate on those to ramp up maximum political pressure on the White House regime that's putting in place the tariffs. But we've seen the blowback from that. Tariffs on Kentucky bourbon resulted in 200% tariffs on Irish whiskey. So, I mean, if it gets into tit for tat, there's even greater emergency plans to be compiled, surely.
And that's really where it is important, I think, that Europe actually is very guarded and cautious in its response, and works collectively together with all the member states and the member state government to work out exactly how we want to respond to this. Nobody on the European side wants tariffs at all. That's the first starting point and premise. Whether that is the case on the American side or not is probably very open for debate. As you quite rightly mentioned, President Trump has a particular view about tariffs, which he's expressed on many, many occasions. But in the context of dealing with this very uncharted territory of a US administration that now seems very wedded to the concept of tariffs as a permanent process, I think Europe has to gauge and work with and develop a response that actually takes that into account and works for the benefit of all its member states.
Right. Can you see any potential disagreements within Europe on the makeup of the reciprocal tariffs, because by, you know, by next Wednesday, Ireland could be in the unfortunate position of its, you know, biggest export sector of 126 billion of pharmaceuticals being hit by 26 or 25% in tariffs and 200% on Irish whiskey, a market that's America, a very important market to the whiskey industry. Do you think there'll be jockeying about what the reciprocal tariffs are, less about what political pressure they'd exercise in America, and more about the impact they'll have on industries in Europe?
Well, it is very important, and the Tánaiste has been working very hard on this to engage with our European partners on this, to work out a European response that is a pan-EU response that takes account of what is best for all member states and recognises that that unity of purpose among member states is absolutely critical, whether it is us in a direct firing line on day one on some areas. The German auto industry is particularly exposed. But you also have, you know, a huge auto industry in Slovakia, say, which their minister was here as well talking to the Tánaiste on this. There are a number of member states that will have obviously key points. But the response needs to be unified, needs to come. And in Maroš Šefčovič, who's the trade commissioner who leads on this, who has a real proven track record of working together on, particularly on Brexit, with Ireland and working with other EU member states. But that response needs to be got right.
OK. Matt Carthy, we don't know exactly what's going to come next Wednesday, but we've had some pretty clear indications. What should be done?
So, first of all, one thing we do know is that Ireland is particularly vulnerable. Our economy is dependent on foreign direct investment, particularly coming from US states. Some would argue disproportionately because of the failure of successive governments to build up an indigenous sector strong enough to ensure that we weren't so reliant on the FDI, which is very welcome, by the way, that we do have. Secondly, we're vulnerable because governments haven't used the tax take that we have received from the FDI that we have to actually ensure that we have the infrastructure that will allow us to help us to withstand economic shocks. So whether that be housing, whether it be water, whether it be transport infrastructure. The other thing that we know is that the only way you can really win in a trade war is not to actually be part of it. And unfortunately,
that ship has sailed. Though,
well, what we have is very strong rhetoric from the US president. We have seen, you know, a turbulence over the past number of a couple of months where, you know, tariffs have been announced and then reneged on, then reintroduced. And I think Mairead McGuinness and others have made an important point. The people who will be affected by tariffs that the US impose are actually US consumers. But also, I think we need to be mindful that the logical outworking of that is that the people who will be primarily impacted by EU tariffs being imposed are EU and Irish consumers. And at the time of cost of living crisis that is affecting lots of workers and families and communities very acutely, I think we have to be really, really careful.
So you'd prefer to see the tariffs on the European level stay in the realms of denim, bourbon and motorcycles, which are discretionary goods rather than necessary goods?
One of the things that I have been concerned about has been, and I think there's been a little bit of a rollback from this, but there was a very instinctive rush for reciprocal tariffs. And we know with the particular individual who's in the White House what that could mean. So the bourbon tariffs, for example, and if that were followed up with the reciprocal measures that Donald Trump has spoken about, could be catastrophic for the Irish whiskey industry, as you've said, and others. So what I do think we need to do is we need to be very cool. And I think we need to encourage the EU to be very calm in terms of how they approach that. And I do think we need to ensure that our ministers aren't simply saying we'll go wherever Europe lead us, because that might not necessarily be in the best interest of the Irish
people. We'll come back to some of those issues. But Catherine Connolly, is there an argument at all for not imposing reciprocal tariffs to let the pressure from American consumers try and change the minds of the Trump administration and to protect European consumers from price hikes by simply not responding in kind?
Well, I think it's very important to be calm. I certainly would agree with the previous speaker in relation to that, Mairead McGuinness. I think we shouldn't rush into anything. First of all, we have to acknowledge the threat to Irish jobs and Irish industry, without a doubt. But we're approaching that threat in a situation where we are resilient at the moment. We have full employment. So we're starting from a good position. However, how long that good position will last is obviously very uncertain. And we're dealing with the man who thinks he can turn the Gaza Strip into the Riviera. We're dealing with a man who thinks he can take over Greenland. So I think what's very important here is we try all other avenues in the lead up to midterm elections in the hope that things will change, because we're dealing with a volatile, to put it mildly, man who you can't trust on any level. So in relation to the tariffs, we have been here before. President Trump was in power before and he did introduce tariffs. And back in February, I tabled a question to the Minister for Finance in relation to that. Such was my concern. And the question was, what had we learned from the imposition of previous tariffs? And the answer given at that stage lacked urgency. I do admit that the government say it's urgent now, but in February, they told me they were going to deal with it in the spring, in the statement in spring. So I think myself that, again, that's not what's been discussed is your question. The tariffs will affect ordinary people in America. And I think that will become very obvious. It will affect them in a terrible way, in as much as it will affect our consumers and our producers. So we need to try every avenue. Normally one would be gone through the World Trade Organization or the OECD, but President Trump has scuppered both of those in not sending members to one and pulling out of the other. But nevertheless, I still think we have to try all avenues. I also think, Colm, that Europe is in a very difficult place in terms of the cul-de-sac it has gone down in terms of its economy. I think they are trying to kickstart or re-kickstart their economy through the arms industry. And they're doing that because their own economy is failing. And it's something we should be very, very aware of. And back to Ireland, we have repeatedly in the opposition asked for diversification and to end our reliance on one sector, albeit it has brought great, it's got benefit to Ireland. But we have very important entities and organisations on the ground have repeatedly highlighted the vulnerable position we were in by relying on one sector as opposed to diversifying our economy and getting markets outside of America.
Colm Brophy, you know, your colleague Peter Burke said control the controllables, and the controllables such as they are the provision of housing to people who work in factories, be that foreign direct investment or anywhere else, the provision of water. We heard Ishka Aaron expressing concerns during the week, and improvements to the grid. Now, you know, things are not looking good on that front. The ESRI has said that housing targets will be missed this year. Ishka Aaron has expressed concern about the level of investment there, and there's concerns about the grid as well. So can we expect to see a renewed focus and a ramping up of funding into the improvement of infrastructure so that even if there isn't major investment decisions in the next 4 years in the Trump administration, that at least the ground is ready for the next round of investments?
And the simple answer to that is absolutely yes. And the government have already given clear statement and commitment in that area. And I think it's very important because I think the Taoiseach has made it very clear, and it's something that Fine Gael believes in. When you're looking at things that can be defined as a national emergency, whether you're dealing with tariffs or you're dealing with housing or whatever, that must be for not just the government and political parties and the people affected by it, but it must also be for organisations like Ishka Aaron to recognise that there really is a need to ramp up, and if they're looking for and will be provided with additional resources to make sure that it is possible to see increases in things like housing numbers. It is very important, I think, though, that we recognise that the government is going to make the key decisions necessary around investment in the grid, around an investment in water, around investment in housing. And those controllables are there. But we also must reach out and continue to make that focus in terms of things which Peter Burke is doing, in terms of growing the Indigenous sector, in terms of research and development, in terms of we've had phenomenal growth in that in our country
in recent years. I suppose,
but we really must continue to focus on that.
Any action has to be grounded in reality. We had the debacle over the 40,000 projected housing figures, and now the ESRI is saying there'll be an undershoot of 6,000 or 7,000 in the coming 2 years. I mean, do you accept those figures?
What is really important is that the government has made it clear is to keep focusing on driving the production figures up, because we have to look and relook and relook and relook at every obstacle there is to making more housing available. And the government is absolutely determined to do that. We've given clear commitments that we're right there and willing to look at every single thing, including suggestions from the ESRI eye on how we would go about doing
that. Matt Carthy.
The biggest obstacle to actually housing delivery is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael policies being implemented and their refusal to accept that their plans are failing. When you think about it, in an election year, when government had repeated ad nauseum even the point when it was considered by every objective observer to be a ludicrous proposition. They kept repeating the mantra that 40,000 homes would be built, and that in itself is a disgrace. But the biggest scandal and catastrophe for the people we represent is that even in an election year where you imagine there would have been some impetus on government to actually deliver, they couldn't do so. Right. And I think
Would you look again at some of the remarks that were made going back even as far as 2018 by your own party, where you were critical of the amount of money that was being put aside for rainy day spending, so that in the event of an emergency, capital infrastructure could be invested in? You wouldn't have put away as much as the current government has put away. Was that a mistake?
I actually think the greatest travesty of the past number of years, because the public finances have been in a healthier position than probably ever before. Now, Fine Gael would try and claim credit for that, but everybody recognises that part of that was the strength of the FDI, and a large part of that we had, and that particularly the corporate tax rate was very vulnerable. And what Sinn Féin advocated, and I stand over, is that when we had the healthy public finances, and when we have the public finances that we have, that we actually invest that in ensuring that our economy is resilient. And that means building the homes that are needed right now, building the infrastructure that we need in transport and energy.
The decisions we made were right.
Well, the difficulty is that, God forbid that we move into a period where economic growth isn't as strong as is projected, or even goes beyond that. And with economics, you can never be certain of anything. The only thing that we do know is that regardless of where the economy is next year or the year after, there won't be enough homes for the people who need them. There won't be the transport infrastructure that we need. There certainly won't be the energy infrastructure that we need.
The one thing we know unequivocally is the decisions, and very strong, good decisions made by Pascal Donoghue in particular as Minister for Finance, putting aside that fund will be absolutely critical to us being able to weather what is coming down the track. And if Sinn Féin had been, in power, we would have had a very, very different economy, a very different economy with a bankrupted country that wouldn't be able to deal with the problem.
We're going to have one voice at a time. We're going to take a break shortly, and we're going to come back after that. But we're not going to have people talking over each other. The listeners won't be able to hear anything. And in the interests of people hearing the merits of all your arguments, we'll just keep it one speaker at a time. We'll take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.